And as we read here in chapter 21, verse 15, it says, "So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved, because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest that all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep." Welcome again to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher, and I appreciate this opportunity, as always, to bring the message of God's Word right to you. And I pray for a personal word, a word that will reach our hearts and bring us to the real issues of how to live in close communion and fellowship with our Lord Jesus. There's far too much following afar off. As Peter fell into that snare, he followed afar off, and there was some barrier, some distance, some disconnect between him and the Lord Jesus. And so let's get over that. Let's get through that barrier and follow the Lord very closely. Oh, for a closer walk with God. That's our prayer, that we may truly live as Christians in this world, following hard after the Savior. That means loyalty. It means discipline. It means that we are in the Word constantly, and that we live with a burden to be obedient unto the Lord. As the name Caleb, the man who followed the Lord wholly, that name means little dog. And you can imagine the dog following its master and always keeping the master in sight, in view, and keeping close. That's how we ought to live the Christian life. And today we're going to look at Peter, how the Lord dealt with him after his betrayal, and how he brought him back into fellowship again. That's so important, and it can be a blessing to us. Stay tuned as we move now to the pulpit ministry of our church, as we let the Bible speak. The Lord recognizes our true love, of course, by our total character. There's a little play on words here. If you go back to verse 15, you'll notice how the Lord Jesus addressed Peter, and he saith to Simon Peter, and if you do have one of those red letter Bibles, this will really help you, because you'll notice the first word that Jesus spoke to Peter was the word Simon. Simon. Now, that was his old name. The Lord had changed his name from, Thou shalt no more be Simon, but Peter, Petrus. And the Lord had changed his name when he made him an apostle. But now he addresses him as Simon, son of Jonas. Oh, the Lord was really putting the knife in here, because in Peter's betrayal or denial, he had really shown his old man-based carnal fear and had denied the Lord. And that now was his reputation. He was Peter the denier. Simon, the old Simon again. What kind of reputation do you and I have? The Lord knows us by our complete character, by how we are named.
Are we the new man in Christ? Are we the new creature where old things have passed away and all things have become new? Or are we the same old John Brown as ever before? The same old person. Nothing has really changed. Guilt-ridden, motivated by the fear of man rather than love for Christ. And so the Lord knows. Now, obviously, today we want to have the character reference of one who is deeply in love with the Lord Jesus. And as we take the cup and the bread today, that ought to be so. We are known, not just today, but every day of our walk, as one deeply in love with the Lord Jesus. We will do anything for his name, anything for his honor, any sacrifice, any self-denial that we might declare and demonstrate our love for the Lord Jesus. Will you pray for that? Are you praying that that is your testimony before the world, that others will know you as one that deeply loves the Lord Jesus? We should be aiming for that. We should be striving for that. And if you won't and don't, then how could you take the cup and bread today and say, I love Jesus, but the rest of the month you don't live it? It's very searching, isn't it? And I must say that as I came back to this passage, which to many Christians is a very familiar account, but it has such a personal application. It goes right down into the depths of our own souls and shakes us up of what we really are about. Now, do you love the Lord Jesus with all your heart? And is it your prayer to do so more and more? Now, another point I find here is that a Christian's true love is marked by humble repentance. Humble repentance. How many times does a Christian need to repent? Well, in a sense, our whole new life is one of repentance. And you'll see in verse 17, where the Lord Jesus kept asking Peter, lovest thou me? And it says here that he saith unto him the third time, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved. There was pain in his heart because he knew what the Lord was alluding to. He got the hint. He got the message. He felt the rebuke. He kept asking. Three times Peter had denied the Lord. Three times now Jesus asked, lovest thou me? You couldn't miss it. And so Peter was grieved. And of course, his denial was no small sin. When that rooster crowed, Peter had cursed and blasphemed the name of Jesus. This was terrible sin. And that, of course, was so offensive to the Lord and to the other disciples and to Peter's own downfall. His boasting had become his shame. And the truth of the Bible, he that thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall, comes as a warning to every one of us. Now, if Peter had gone into his temptation in humility, without boasting, that's when that night when he was warming himself at the fire and the little maiden said, art thou one of them? If Peter had gone into that in humility, instead of boasting, I'll never deny the Lord, well, he might have come out with a song in his heart instead of those hot, bitter tears rolling. And I'm sure it wasn't just an hour, it was a constant life now of deeply grieving over what he had done. Peter was like the preacher who made a fool of himself. He went up into the pulpit boasting that he was the best of all preachers. Well, the Lord humbled him, and things fell apart for him, and he just stuttered and stammered. And someone commented that if he had gone up the way he had come down, he would have come down the way he went up. He would have had the help of the Lord if he had gone humbly to speak in the Lord's name. But now in this incident, when the Lord got to the core of the matter, we notice Peter's humble spirit. And every time the Lord pressed on Peter, "Lovest thou me?" What did Peter say? "Thou knowest." And he said, "Thou knowest that I love thee." And he used a particular word that means human affection. Jesus was asking, "Do you love me with agape love, the love of God?" Peter would not use that term. He used the term for human love. "You know that I have affection, that I have love for you." And in every one of Peter's answers, you can see that humble, repentant spirit. It's like someone asking you today, "Do you love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength?" What's your answer? Do you boast and say, "Oh, yes, I love the Lord with all my heart"? No. The godly response to that question is, "I want to. I long to. Would you pray that I love my Lord more? Would you pray that I so live that I will demonstrate more love to Jesus?" That becomes the true response. When we remember our past failures, and as I say, Peter becomes an encourager to us because we've done many times something like what Peter has done. Have there not been times when we felt prompted that we should speak for the Lord Jesus and we let that opportunity go by? And did we ever feel badly about it afterwards? We had a golden opportunity to speak up for the Lord Jesus and we let it go by. We were so controlled by the fear of man and by our own weakness that we didn't say a word. Now, we may not have blasphemed the name of Jesus, Peter did, but still, we are guilty of not demonstrating our love for Jesus. Have there not been times in our homes when we have not prayed with one another and demonstrated our love for Jesus? Let the devotional time slip, and again, it's all the result of our own weakness. Who can boast? Who can tell the story of unfailing love to Jesus? Not one of us. We're all Peters, and we all repent and say, "Lord, you know that inside of me there is an attraction. There is a magnet in my heart that draws me to you. But Lord, I don't love you as I should. I don't delight in you the way I should. Help me." Then when we remember the heights of Christ's love for us, we recognize the weakness of our love. When we describe the love that we have for our Lord Jesus, and then you bring in the backdrop of Calvary and the cross and the nails in the hands of Jesus, and you see the crown of thorns, and you hear the cries, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Has any man loved like this?" Our love for Christ is so minuscule in contrast to the deep, deep love Jesus displayed at the cross. And so with aching hearts and with humble hearts, and yes, we like that man who beat his chest, "Have mercy on me, a sinner, for Lord, I don't love you the way I should." And we are convicted. Let us do what Peter did, humble ourselves and say, "Yes, Lord, you know my heart. And Lord, I'll let you have the final word on that. But oh Lord, I love you with a little love. And help me to love you more." Then I also see here that a Christian's true love is the basis of faithful service. The Lord went on to say, "Feed my lambs, feed my sheep," each of those times. And you'll notice something, that they are the Lord's sheep, not Peter's. Feed my lambs, feed my sheep. They are the Lord's sheep, not Peter's. And so we need to tell the Pope that. The Pope thinks that they're all his sheep because he's the successor of Peter, supposedly. It's not true, but that's what they claim. But Peter now was conscripted to care for the Lord's lambs and the Lord's sheep. And so here is a way by which we demonstrate our love for our Lord Jesus. We love his sheep. We love his people. We love those that love the name of Jesus. We love those who claim to be redeemed in the blood of the Lamb. There is an attraction, a burden for the welfare and the care of those very people. Now, Peter now was being restored to this ministry of apostleship, to the care of souls. He was no longer just to be a fisherman or a fisher of men. He was to be a pastor, a shepherd, a carer for the souls of men. And so the other disciples heard this, and they would, in the future, have to overlook Peter's failure and say, here is a man who has shown weakness. Here is a man who's shown some disloyalty to the Lord, and yet he's charged with the care of the sheep. And he's going to do it because of love in his heart. When you and I hear a man or woman say, I love the Lord Jesus, we can overlook all else. We can overlook a lot when we hear someone say, I love the Lord Jesus. And no doubt in that person there will be failures and shortcomings and even offenses. But we can overlook all of that if they say, I love the Lord Jesus. I do. I don't love him as I ought, but I want to love him more. Without that, if a person will not say, I love the Lord Jesus, even they are like a squeaky clean Pharisee who walk the clean side of the road and keep all the commandments, but they don't love the Lord Jesus, there's no attraction there. There's no interest in being amongst that people. But the redeemed of the Lord, a blood-washed saint, one that has been to Calvary and his now heart is throbbing with delight in the redeeming grace of a Savior, that's my people. In spite of their failures, in spite of their shortcomings, in spite of the hurts that they have caused. Because these sheep are not perfect sheep. These sheep need building up and fed and nurtured. And so Peter now was a Peter pastor, not just the Peter fisherman or the man of the past. He was Peter the pastor. And now he will work day and night and did that he might care for the sheep. Now this is the ultimate test. Jesus said, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, when ye love one another. Let that be a great test to you today. As you take the cup and bread and so say and profess, I love the Lord Jesus, but do you love the Lord's people? Do you love his church? Do you love the redeemed of God? Is that the delight of your heart? Or are you holding on to old offenses and old issues? How then can the love of God be controlling you? And so let the all-seeing eyes of the Lord search our hearts for your love to your fellow believer, the one sitting right beside you now or behind you. There ought to be a deep desire that they go on with Christ. And the last thing you want to be is a stumbling block to them. You got to love them warts and all. That was an Oliver Cromwell statement, wasn't that right? He had this wart on his face. And people need to be loved warts and all for Jesus' sake. And if our heart is bursting with the love of Christ, we can do it. We can do it. We can get over the hurts. And we can love to a measure of Jesus' love. How can you feed lambs if you don't love them? How can you feed sheep if you don't love them? In Matthew 25, the Lord Jesus spoke of this. He said, the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you've done it unto me. And so Christ sees our interactions and the caring spirit, the love that we show and express to his redeemed people. that he might bless us more and more. Now think on this, a closing word, because it is communion, I must soon stop. A closing word. In this event of Jesus' interview with Peter, when he dealt with all these issues, between the event of Peter's denial of his Lord and this restoration is the event of the cross. If there had not been the event of Calvary in between Peter's denial and the Lord's interview with him, would there have been any resolution? What was the solution? The cross. Christ died and has died for our sins. And even the sins of denial, even the sins of our weaknesses, are under the blood of the Lord Jesus. And as we take the cup and the bread, we're coming to the cross. We're coming to confess, Lord, I love you, but I'm weak and I'm in need of grace. But Lord, I'm coming to the cross. I'm looking unto the blood of Jesus today when I take that cup and bread. And that's the right place to go. There's nowhere else to get healing for your heart. There's nowhere else to get restored. This is how Peter was restored, because Jesus went to the cross and died for him. And if you read Peter's letters, you will find that he majored on it so much, that Christ died the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. The substitutionary death of Jesus in the place of his people was very much Peter's theme in his epistles. And of course, we can be forgiven much. We can forgive much because we are forgiven much. And when we think of the little hurts we have and the needs to forgive and contrast it with Christ at the cross and what he bore for us, doesn't even compare. If we do not forgive our fellow believers, shall the Lord forgive us? There's a lot in this that searches my heart. As I came to this passage, I have to almost do a whole reset of why I profess faith in Christ, why I serve him, why I want to worship him, why I want to preach his gospel. Lovest thou me, feed my lambs, feed my sheep. And there's a lot here to get us back up on our feet and get on with serving the Lord with all our hearts. Will you do it? Did Jesus do enough for you? Will you do it? Let me ask you today, do you love the Lord Jesus? Do you love the Savior with all your heart? But do not despair, because we also need to be assured that the Savior loves us. Here is a great story just to illustrate the point. A gentleman who was a professed Christian was taken seriously ill. He became troubled about the little love he felt in his heart for God.
and spoke of his experience to a friend. This is how the friend answered him. When I go home from here, I expect to take my baby on my knee, look into her sweet eyes, listen to her charming prattle, and, tired as I am, her presence will rest me. For I love that little child with an unutterable tenderness, but she loves me little. If my heart were breaking, it would not disturb her sleep. If my body were racked with pain, it would not interrupt her play. If I were dead, she would forget me in a few days. Besides this, she has never brought me a penny, but was a constant expense to me. I am not rich, but there is not money enough in the world to buy my baby. How is it? Does she love me, or do I love her? Do I withhold my love until I know she loves me? Am I waiting for her to do something worthy of my love before extending it? This practical illustration of the love of God for his children caused the tears to roll down the sick man's face. Oh, I see, he exclaimed, it is not my love to God, but God's love for me that I should be thinking of. And I do love him now as I never loved him before. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us. Let this truth sink into your heart today, and the more you discover the love of God for you, the more you will find that your heart will burn for him. That is a true experience of every one of God's people. Fix your mind and heart on the deep, deep love of the Lord, and you will find that you will have a deeper love for him. I pray that that will be your burning experience even now as you ponder on the love of the Savior for your soul. And as always, if I can be of any personal help to you, make sure that you give me a call or send me an email. All the announcements are now coming up. You are listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of the Free Presbyterian Church in Canada. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca, CA for Canada. There you can read my blog, find my Bible study notes, audio and video sermons, as well as helpful articles. Or you can go to our podcast on iTunes. We are on the air Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services on Sundays, 10:30 and 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view to our online services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Make it your Sunday worship. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58th Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We're located just two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188th Street. Our website again is ltbs.ca. You can join us Monday to Friday, 5 a.m., 5 p.m., here on this station as we let the Bible speak.